And a guy who drives it through.
Had the high notes on the part. That's when we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Man's in trouble, FB kick! The super sharp has done it again! And Motherwell back in front!
It's not a choice anymore. You know, we're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market, and everybody in the club knows that now.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there! Handel is with it! Jukovic! Oh wow! Oh wow! Lukas Jukovic!
Thick or thin, no matter what happens, we're privileged to be part of this club.
And here they come again, Rangers stretched, it's Arlett again, Pushwood's committing himself, and he scored! It's 3-0 to Motherwell!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I dreamed of.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Hello and welcome to the second of our summer special podcasts. Today we're delighted to welcome Motherwell legend Seb Dykstra along. Seb, thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
No problem, Andy, at all. Good afternoon to all of you.
Good afternoon, Seb.
Alright, how you doing? I'm not bad, thanks.
Seb, you arrived at Motherwell Football Club in 1991, just after the club had won the Scottish Cup. Just wondering, given you had played in Belgium and Holland before you arrived at Motherwell, did you know much about the club?
Well, obviously I knew about Motherwell FC winning the Scottish Cup, especially because our Dutchman Luke Nijholt was playing for Motherwell FC. But apart from that, I didn't really know much about Motherwell.
So when did you initially learn of the interest from the club?
Well, it was actually funny because my agent, who was actually the father of Robert Marskant, he was at the time in the squad of Motherwell FC. He rang me up and he was asking whether I was interested going on trial to Motherwell for actually a 3-month trial, because obviously there were some contract problems with Ali Maxwell at that time. So I didn't hesitate, and I immediately took the opportunity to come to Motherwell on trial.
You mentioned Ali Maxwell there, obviously a very popular goalkeeper with Motherwell, especially given his performance in that Scottish Cup final. You made your debut against Raith Rovers in a League Cup game, and the fans took to you very quickly in that game despite what was a very disappointing scoreline.
That's right. I remember that game as it was yesterday. We got thumped 4-1, and I was actually gutted about the score. But from a personal point of view, I thought I didn't play too bad. I was really delighted with the support I got from all the Motherwell fans. That gave me obviously a big boost. But obviously, if you are a goalkeeper and you concede 4 goals, then you're always disappointed.
You then went on to make your league debut in a 1-0 victory over Airdrie. Motherwell Airdrie games, always very tense and hostile affairs. How is that as a kind of welcome to Scottish league football?
I have to admit, Andy, I really enjoyed that game, especially because it was a full-packed house at Broomfield. We won, obviously, that game 1-0. And, you know, I immediately made my mark, I thought, by collecting mostly all the crosses. That's why the Motherwell fans, I guess, took immediately to me.
I see. Just on the subject of the fans, there's always the sort of the recurring, I don't know, story or affection between yourself and Motherwell fans. You know, Seb Dykstra's Barmy Army, all that kind of thing. Is that something that was quite important? I think, you know, even nowadays on your Facebook page, you always seem to have a good bit of chat with Motherwell fans and even Dundee United fans. And I actually remember not that long ago, I was playing you at Song Pop, a game on the internet at some point as well. So is the sort of the relationship with the fans, you know, something that was quite important to your time at Motherwell?
Yeah, You know, I always took my time for the supporters. I think without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club, and that's why the supporters, I think, like me as well, because I always took time for them and always made a joke on the park with the fans as well. I think they enjoy that as well. But I think supporters, no matter which team in the world, are very important for a football club.
I think that's it. You had a very unique style. The common picture is the very colourful goalkeeper strip and the chance of Seeb swinging the bar and things like that. you always looked like you were really, really enjoying yourself, and I think that's something that fans really, really appreciate.
Yeah, that was a saying before. You know, sometimes I made a joke on the park, and of course you have to be focused during the game, and you know, but before the game in the warming up, or even when the ball went out for a goal kick from the opponent, I had time, you know, to swing on the bar. That was not a problem for me. But after that, after swinging on the bar a couple of times, you know, I really got focused up again, and that was no problem at all. And I thought the fans had a good time as well.
The first couple of seasons you had it for part, the team struggled despite having many, many good players within the squad, didn't they? Did you feel that, I know in your final season at Fir Park it was a successful one in the league, but did you feel even while the club was struggling that there were signs there that the team could be a force further up the league?
Yeah, my first season, obviously, you know, I was behind Billy Thompson. The second season, I actually came in, I think it was after seven or eight league games, where Billy Thompson got his ribs bruised. You know, I always believed that we, as a Motherwell team, you know, could be up there. We had enough quality in the squad. Even the second year where I played, I thought, you know, it was a bit harsh that we played for relegation. I thought we had a good enough team to ended up the first five, six league places.
Then, of course, the team did push on and finished third in your final season. Many, many great players in that team that went on to big things. Obviously yourself, you departed to Queen's Park Rangers at the conclusion of that season. You look at guys like Paul Lambert, Rob McKinnon. It was a really excellent side, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a fantastic sight. I have fond memories still I have contact with a few players, and yeah, we had a really, really good squad as a whole, and I thought you know, we pushed Rangers all the way for the title. It was actually the home game against Dundee United where we lost 2-1, where we actually lost the league in my eyes. I think it was three or four games before the end, and I actually blamed myself, to be honest, because I was at fault for the first goal, and yeah, I had sleepless night about that game, because I thought that was a crucial game to win.
I'm just looking at that squad just now: Brian Martin, Rob McKinnon, Mia Dakarokipit, Phil O'Donnell, Paul Lambert, Davy Cooper, Tommy Coyne. It really is a star-studded lineup, isn't it?
Oh, unbelievable! Unbelievable! It was a fantastic squad, and that's why we ended up third. And I'm convinced that if we had a chance to win the championship, it was that year. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. I mean, we would have written history, I think, if we would have won the league.
There is a number of the defence also called up for Scotland duty, wasn't there? There was Brian Martin, Rob McKinnon, Chris McCart. Did you feel a wee bit of pride in that as well, that you were obviously a key part of that defence too?
Yeah, of course. I these boys really, really deserved the call-up. You know, I've played alongside Rob McKinnon, Brian Martin and Chris McCard, and they were, throughout those seasons where I was at Motherwell, excellent. And they were the main players for the success in my eyes.
The time came to end your spell at Firth Park at the end of the 93-94 season, and Queen's Park Rangers came calling. Massive leap in terms of exposure to the English Premier League. How was it coming up against teams like Manchester United? I know you were in goal for a 2-1 victory over Liverpool as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually, you know, when I went to QPR, I had a really good pre-season, and I actually thought that the manager at the time, Jerry Francis, was playing me as first team goalkeeper. But after pre-season, you know, he said to me that I had to sit behind Tony Roberts, that Tony Roberts became the number one because he played the previous season for many of the season, and that was kind of disappointing for me. But I didn't sit back. I trained hard, and my chance came in October, the away game against Norwich City. But we lost. I think it was 4-2 against Norwich. So that was a bit disappointed. But from a personal point of view, I thought I did okay that game. And the only disappointing thing was that Jerry Francis, he left to Tottenham Hotspur after 2 months. And obviously, Jerry Francis was the manager who took me to QPR.
The chance to play against, I was looking at the Man United game in particular, and you see the Man United team. Was it almost intimidating coming up against some of the real superstars that were in the United team at that stand?
Well, obviously, you know, it was a great Manchester United side. Great names. I mean, the likes of Peter Schmeichel, Steve Bruce, Ryan Giggs, Brian McClair. You call them, you know, they were one by one fantastic players. But it was not like, you know, that you looked upon those players. You know, I'm now speaking for myself. If I would go on the park, you know, I would switch the button and just play my game, and that was it.
Can I ask, Steve? Obviously, we were just talking there about how good a team Motherwell had, particularly in your last season there. Going down to England and playing with guys, you know, like Trevor Sinclair, like Les Ferdinand, and up against, you know, some of the players you've mentioned. Is there anybody in that Motherwell side? You know, we're constantly told in Scotland that, you know, our game isn't up to much. It's really poor in comparison to English football. But playing in a team with guys like, you know, Tommy Coyne, you know, having played with guys like David Cooper, are these guys who could, you know, really be at the top level down in England? I know Coyne obviously was down at Tranmere before he came back up, but, you know, how big is the league?
Well, obviously, the Premier League in England is high standard, but from my point of view, I think the last Motherwell team I played with, you know, with the likes of Chris McCard, Rob McKinnon, Tommy Coyne, Dougie Arnott, David Cooper, I think those guys could easily play in the Premier League in England. That is my thought.
But you just have to look at guys like Paul Lambert, who went on.
Paul Lambert also
won the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, he played in there. Obviously, he won the Champions League, Paul Lambert. You know, he went from Motherwell to Borussia Dortmund. And he was player of the year at Dortmund at one stage. So, you know, it shows you. It shows you if you play in an even better team, you know, you can even do better things as a player.
We were discussing managers there. Tommy McLean brought you to Motherwell. You worked under Trevor Francis at Queen's Park Rangers. McLean, very popular still amongst the Motherwell supporters. Just, you used to give him a few headaches though, didn't you, when you would embark on your mazy runs from your goal?
I bet Tommy liked that. But he never admitted. He never admitted.
I think he was going to take a few days off with stress at one stage.
Nah, I mean, I have to be honest. Me and Tommy had a great relationship. Sometimes he would go off his head in the dressing room, and he would throw things at me. But I know that was the heat of the moment. And you know, after the game, you know, we drank together a pint, and that was it. That was it over. But the respect for each other was always very, very good.
After a few loan spells down south, you headed back north and joined Dundee United. Another successful spell, another group of supporters who still worship you to this day. You just seem to kind of pick up where you left off in Scotland.
Yeah, it was a hard time for Dundee United when I came over from QPR, because they were second bottom. And I remember the first games, as it was yesterday, my first away game against Kilmarnock. The club was in a bad state at the moment. But we won 1-0, and then we had the important home game on a Wednesday against Rangers. And we beat Rangers that night 1-0, and you know, the club got such a lift, and you saw the confidence coming through everything, and that was very good for the club. And we went on that season, I think, a 19 unbeaten spell, so that was quite an achievement from all the team.
You just missed out in silverware with United as well, didn't you, finishing runners-up in the League Cup. But did it take some of the shine away from that final, the fact that it wasn't played at Hampden?
Well, obviously, it's always nice if you can play at Hampden, but, well, obviously at the time they were renovating the stadium, and it was played at Ibrox Park. I think it had to do with a lot of players not having that experience. You know, it was obviously the first experience for many players at the team, the first cup final ever for a lot of players. And you know, from that point of view, Celtic had a lot of experience with those kind of games, and that played them in advantage. I thought, because we were never in the game that cup final, and obviously we lost 3-0 without a chance.
Your time at United ended with a bit of a contract dispute, I'm led to believe. Was it arranged to leave Scottish football again for a second time?
Well, it was not really a contract dispute. I actually made my mind up. I spoke to my wife about the future. Obviously, we had a daughter, Alicia, and she was about 4 years old, and we were thinking about, you know, the going to school, and we decided to go back to Holland, but United was preparing another contract for me, but we actually never negotiated a new contract. So there was not really a contract dispute between me and Dundee United. It was at the time my own decision to go back to Holland.
As you say, then, Steve, you went back to Holland. I believe you also went on to Germany. But there's been a couple of times where you've actually came back. I believe you played in Dougie Arnott's testimonial. And recently you came back for one of the supporters teams for Park Corner and made a special appearance in their goal.
Yeah, that's right. I played in Phil O'Donnell's benefit game as well. You know, the All-Star team from Celtic against All-Stars Motherwell, and that was quite emotional as well. And you know, coming back to Phil. Phil was a great player, a great guy, on and off the park. And you know, that was heartbreaking. You know, the news that got to me, and even at the game, the benefit game for Phil O'Donnell was very, very emotional.
Is it something that Is it still nice catching up with former teammates? I know you say you keep in contact with quite a lot of them. It must be nice meeting them in the flesh and going for a beer and just kind of reminiscing of the times that you had at Motherwell and beyond.
Yeah, of course. It was great to see the likes of Stevie Kirk, Rob McKinnon, Dougie Arnott, Tommy Coyne, you name them, to see them again. Obviously, the Dougie Arnott testimonial, we had after that, we had a party, and obviously we had a few beers as well. So it was very nice, you know, to catch up with those guys and talking about old time, talking about old memories, and we still have contact through Facebook, which is great.
So kind of brings us on to currently the Motherwell team. I've noticed from your Facebook you've been following the progress. It's been a tough season, which ended in fantastic style. Any team that beats Rangers twice in the course of 4 days will go down in legend with Motherwell, that's for sure. Were you able to follow much of Motherwell over the course of the season? Were you able to see any games on television? Or
I watched some highlights with most of the Motherwell games. I thought they were a bit harsh. You know, obviously Stuart McCall, who left in November. You know, he did a great job for Motherwell. He had a few fantastic years. Sad to see him go, and it was a big task for the new manager, you know, to follow his footsteps. And it was not easy. It was not easy for the new manager, for Ian Barraclough, to get things going. And I thought it was a bit harsh on Motherwell. You know, the suspensions they had, the injuries they had. But obviously, all came good with two fantastic results against Rangers, and deservedly so, because Motherwell is a fantastic, fantastic football club, and they deserve, you know, to play the highest level in Scotland.
Is it hard when you've built up such a rapport with the club and the supporters to follow from afar, especially when they're struggling a bit?
Yeah, I mean, Motherwell is always in my heart. It stayed always in my heart. Stays always in my heart. I have a special feeling for everybody concerning Motherwell. I still have friends in Motherwell, which I keep good contact with. You know, and I was kind of sad, you know, to see Motherwell struggle so badly. So it was a big relief, obviously, you know, to see Motherwell win those both games against Rangers, and obviously they're playing in the Premier League again next year.
Just to mention as well, see, to go back to one of your first points, you were notorious, you know, for coming out and collecting crosses. What I seem to remember, you collected a cross about 16 yards out at Parkhead once. Why is it you
I remember that. I almost landed outside the 16-yard box. I stayed with my hands on the line, and my whole body was outside, but the ball was on the line, so that was not bad. Now, you know, it was a... That has always been my style, coming out for crosses. Sometimes I was over-exaggerating coming for crosses, because, you know, I thought every ball was coming in the box, I have to get them. But, you know, that's not how it works. But, you know, that was one of my strengths. Obviously, I made some mistakes coming out for crosses, which is normal. But from the 10 balls which came in the box, you know, I could say I had 8 of them. So that was not a bad rate. But it's just the style I played at that time.
Why is it you think that you don't really see that anymore? You know, goalkeepers tend to struggle these days with crosses. And, you know, if you do find one who's, you know, as good as yourself at them, you know, it's a bit of a rare occurrence. So, you know, why is it you think, is there any particular reason? I know you're involved in coaching and stuff like that.
Well, you know, it's a personal thing. You need to have a lot of confidence, you know, to come and collect the whole 18-yard box. You know, it's, what I find is a lot of goalkeepers play safe. There is a few goalkeepers who are very brave and who are coming out, like Manuel Neuer. You know, I like his style. He doesn't even cover his 80-yard box. He covers the whole half. It's unbelievable. But I think it's between the ears. I think you have to be confident in yourself, you know, to do that. My philosophy is, you know, I'm 6'5". If I jump and I can use my arms, I'm 8 feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have a lot of advantage against my striker. But that's how I think about it. But you know, there are a few keepers who are brave enough, you know, to come out for crosses. But in general, you know, most of the goalkeepers play safe.
And as I mentioned, I know you're involved in coaching and things like that. What exactly are you doing at the moment?
Well, I'm owning a goalkeepers academy since 2007 in the south of Holland, and I have about 50 odd goalkeepers, you know, who are training with me three times a week. Beside that, am I account manager for an Italian sports brand called Acerbis. I'm working for that company since May 2014. And I started up beginning of this year. I started up a football agency, and I do that together with a Belgian colleague.
Busy man, then, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm quite busy at the moment.
You're talking about, obviously, you've went into goalkeeping coaching. There will be the last two goalkeeper coaches at Motherwell. Currently, it's Gordon Marshall. Before that, it was former Celtic goalkeeper Stuart Kerr, and they've had reasonable degrees of success, especially Kerr, who brought through goalkeepers like John Ruddy, who's currently the goalkeeper at Norwich. He was in the England squad. He was also Darren Randolph, who went to Birmingham City, and he's recently signed for West Ham. Motherwell have got a good pedigree of bringing through goalkeepers, don't they?
Yeah, of course. Also, Darren Randolph, who's now playing at Birmingham City. I mean, he was a really good goalkeeper as well. Obviously, John Ruddy did really well for Motherwell, and he's doing now really well at Norwich City. I don't know much about the goalkeeper who's playing now. That George Long, which Ian Barraclough brought in, is he on loan at the moment?
Yeah, he's on loan from Sheffield United. Although there is suggestions that he might spend next season on loan at Fir Park as well.
Okay. So no, he looks quite decent to me. The two games I saw him playing against Rangers. So you know, I think he might do well next season as well. Because I know Gordon Marshall quite well, and Gordon Marshall obviously was a very good goalkeeper himself. He has a good philosophy about goalkeepers, and I'm sure he will improve under Gordon Marshall.
Is there a possibility of perhaps a Seb Dykstra goalkeeper turning up at Fir Park anytime soon?
Yeah, if they invite me, I'm happy enough to come over to Motherwell. No problem.
Yeah, we'll forward this on and make sure they get to hear it.
Okay, no problem.
Seb, there was a lot of big characters over your time at Motherwell. I was just wondering if you had any particular kind of anecdotes or stories of amusing tales that went on at that time. I know that from speaking to Brian Martin and Rab McKinnon, there was a lot of humour in the dressing room. Is there some good stories there?
Yeah, well, I remember once we went to play Dunfermline away. That was a midweek game, and I think we won that game 2-1. I got a shower after the game, and I was happy we won that game 2-1. But when I was sitting in the bus, something was burning in my pants, and I didn't know what was wrong, and I couldn't stand the pain anymore until I saw Colin O'Neill laughing. And I knew exactly what he was on to, you know. He put deep heat in my pants. So I was in agony. I was in agony for 45 minutes. So when I came home, you know, I had to pull off my pants. But I was in agony the whole night. And obviously Colin O'Neill, he was laughing his arse off. But that was, I mean, Colin O'Neill, he was quite a character as well. He was always up to jokes and always was making sure there was good laugh in the dressing room. Unfortunately, Colin had to end his career through knee injury. That was sad to see. I still keep in touch with Colin through Facebook. He got his knee operation quite recently. So you know, it's quite bad that he had to end his career like that.
That was a shame.
Yeah, it was a shame. But these things happen in football, you know. It's you can never say what's going to happen. I have to touch with you know. I'm very lucky that I never had any injury. I mean, once I had a bruised ribs against Hearts. That's the only injury I picked up in all my career. So from that point of view, I'm quite fortunate, you know, to come out without any major injury.
See, we're going to move on and record your 1-11 just after that. But I would like to just wrap this up by thanking you very much for your time. It's been brilliant hearing your stories.
No problem, Andy. I have to shoot off in 1 minute because I have to go to a meeting at 3:30. Is it possible that you can call me later on the day?
Absolutely, no problem. No problem at all. Jay Busta, thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the By the Man MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Rough, but you're still play. Working 9 to 5 each day to give 17.5 away. And it's tough to take for us, for you it seems kinda tough to break. See, we're all just trying to get by, now I understand why it was so hard to fight. And it's kinda real, so living for the weekend is how I feel. As I take the wheel, looking for a change of scene from the same routine in this management scheme. But I see what's to lose, I've got a dead end job which I clearly abuse. Plus skills that I really use, and I can really care less, but it can't leave you.